SoundCloud Music. We are. All right. Now, welcome back to the place where nothing is safe. This is episode 78 of the Jig Is Up podcast. And you know me, I'm your host, yours, Marco. And I'm with.
It's your guy, M. Easy.
It's your girl, Miss Nessa, a.k.a. Blazing Mommy.
And Kmart can't be with us today because he has work. Niggas living real life, like we always tell you. But we're here on a weekly basis to go ahead and provide some entertaining slash educational or giving a bit of ourselves to you guys on a weekly basis. So however you are listening to this podcast via Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, YouTube, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio will be included in the foreseeable future. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, but most importantly, share, because doing that help us get spread the word of the podcast. Also, leaving reviews and ratings will do that as well on your favorite podcast and platform, wherever you choose to listen from. All right. So I'm going to get things started off, man. And I just got to bring this up because shit's crazy out here. And for the Nothing Is Safe segment, I want to go in on the San Diego Hepatitis A epidemic. So as a great man said, straight up shit is real. And any day could be your last in the jungle. And that's what the fuck's been going on out here in San Diego. If you guys have been living under the rock or don't even live in San Diego, just want to enlighten you that what's been going on here in San Diego with the hepatitis A epidemic. So far, Hep A has claimed 16 lives and infected 421 people since November. Well, for me, I'm not surprised, you know, given that San Diego has the fourth largest homeless population in the U.S. Now, with the outbreak gaining national attention, San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner ordered a street cleanings with bleach. So they're dousing the streets with bleach and power washing the streets on a daily for every other week for 8 weeks. That's the information. And along with that, they're trying to set up more portable restrooms and hand washing stations. And the majority of the spread of Hep A is due to fecal matter in public areas. If you live in downtown or been in downtown where there's a large homeless population, basically there's human shit all over this damn city. And that is one of the main culprits of getting people infected, especially in the homeless community. But if you think that is a homeless problem, think again, because 30% of the people who have been infected in San Diego are not homeless. And, you know, if you guys don't know what Hep A infects your liver. People can die from it if it's untreated. And some of the symptoms are fever, fatigue, loss of appetite, jaundice. Now, if you guys don't know what jaundice is, it's the yellowing of the skin and the eyes. So basically, you look like a damn Simpsons character. And there's stomach pain, vomiting, dark urine. Also, you know, where people cash it shit, it's like, in, you know, in basically in bathrooms, kitchens, light switches, doorknobs, phones, keyboards, wheelchairs, and walkers.
Well, damn.
So, man, I'm not trying to scare everybody out here who live in San Diego. I know L.A. can be or scared that it may travel upwards up the 5 because of the Skid Row population over there. But all I got to say, guys, nothing is safe. So do yourself a favor and stay armed, stay vigilant. Make sure you carry some Purell, wash your hands, and most importantly, go out there and get vaccinated. And there's plenty of free vaccination clinics out there in the San Diego County or wherever you are, wherever you listen to this podcast. Go ahead and find a way to get vaccinated. Personally, I had to reconsider because I don't like needles and I don't like vaccinations because I have like a conspiracy theorist type of mindset.
Me too.
So, but for Hep A, I would, you know, consider that. But I know, given that the fact that my day job, you know, deals with public work, I know with yours, you deal with children.
Yep.
And I think over 120 students at Hilltop High School have been affected. So it is crazy out there. Like I said, I implore everyone who's not infected, go out there, get vaccinated. I know my lady, she texted me because she was very concerned and caring. She was telling me, I need to go get vaccinated. So I'm going to bite the bullet. Go out there, get vaccinated for Hep A because it's crazy out there. And, you know, for the gay community, because dealing with fecal matter, man-on-man sex, y'all niggas got to be careful too.
We're not supposed to laugh, but yeah. Dude.
I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm trying to be real with everybody. Maybe I have, you know, people who listen to this podcast who live that lifestyle. I'm just bringing it to your guys' attention. I want y'all to be safe and healthy, too. So, all right. Anything you guys want to talk about on that? Anything you want to shed some light on?
No, it's just a scary situation. And yeah. Everybody, you know, keep clean.
Oh, yeah. And also,
go get vaccinated if you want to.
No, y'all need to do it.
And keep a Purell on deck. Right. Wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Get vaccinated. Stay clean.
Well, you know, I'm considering it, but that conspiracy theorists
about vaccinations.
Mind of minds. Yeah.
Because think about it, the homeless population is growing. People's like, what are we gonna do about the homeless population? All of a sudden, fucking Hep A outbreak.
I don't know. Take all of them, put them in a recycling bin. I don't know.
Damn.
What the fuck?
I mean, it's crazy though. Like, they're sharing needles. You gotta think about it. They're sharing needles. They're pooping all over the damn city.
Yeah.
Urinating all over the city. Laying in there. You know, on the floor, mm-hmm. Also picking up cigarettes from the floor to smoke them, digging in trash cans for recyclables. Like, it's a very, very dangerous lifestyle they're living.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes this brings an indifference about homelessness in San Diego. They could be like, well, fuck them then. They shouldn't be, get their ass up. You know, fuck them. You know, and not every homeless person is, you know, are just lazy. They falling on hard times or mm-hmm. mentally not there, or they're addicted to drugs. You know, there's a level of compassion to have, and there's also a level of like heavy-handedness need to be laid upon, like, hey nigga, yeah. you can't be doing this, like, you gotta get up, you gotta do something, man. And you know, I know Mayor Faulkner, like I said, he's trying to bring more bathrooms because downtown San Diegans, people who own small businesses, aren't fucking with them because they don't want them to go in their bathrooms.
Yeah.
So what else they're going supposed to do?
Yeah.
They're going to shit on your on the sidewalk. They're going to do all that. So, you know, it's crazy out there. And I just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention. You know, I didn't want to try to, you know, I'm just trying to spread awareness.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the answer to it is what you said earlier as far as standalone, like, bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there is one.
They're starting to build
downtown.
More.
Yeah, so if they build more, that would be very helpful for them.
That would be helpful. I just don't want to see no fucking disrespectful-ass teenagers knocking over porta potties.
Because
those are actually starting to help out people from not to, you know, to try to not spread the disease, the infection. And
man, I feel like those might cause more because it's almost the same thing just in the porta potty.
Well, I mean, in the porta potty, but they have the trained professionals who put on the suits and drain that shit out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead, mm-hmm. as opposed to having it, you know, exposed on the street.
Yeah.
When someone could, like, get exposed to it, you know, inhalation, they step on it on accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it gets on your clothes, your shoes. You don't quite wipe your feet. Like, shit's a slippery slope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or people who serve your food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably didn't wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Eating it. Shaking hands with niggas, you know what I mean? Then you rub your face.
I don't be shaking nobody.
You know what,
hand.
You know what I mean? Like, I give you a
shake everybody's hand, but I run straight to the bathroom right after the conversation.
Like, no lie, man. This is one of my coworkers in my department. He likes to shake everyone's hands, right?
I fucking hate that shit.
And I hate it. One time I saw that he had a sty. At first, I thought he had pink eye or something. And I shook his hand, and I looked. And after I shook his hand, no lie, I went straight to the bathroom and washed my hand. He was like, "Mark, what are you doing?" Like, I'm washing my hand. This dude has a sty in his eye. I just shook his hand. I'm washing my hands ASAP.
Yeah.
One of my other coworkers shook his hand and caught a sty on his eye, too. And to this day, that nigga do not fuck with him. He be getting mad when he see him. He do not fuck with him at all. I mean, they cool, but like deep down inside, he's still mad about that shit. So I'm telling you, man, you know that old saying, man, cleanliness is next to godliness. And this one right here, my nigga, this shit right here, you better take this shit heart.
Yeah,
take this shit to the heart because, unfortunately, there was a 70-year-old man who is not homeless, by the way, who got infected with Hep A. 70 years old. Luckily, he was good enough to survive that shit.
Mm.
Some people, I mean, it claimed the lives of 16 people. So, shit is real, and any day could be the last in the jungle. Yeah.
I mean, I work with kids, so just doing that, we constantly have to wash our hands because of germs and all that shit. So.
And you know, kids are going, and kids in downtown can't even go to playgrounds. Homeless people taking shits over there, too. Shit's out of control. It's a lot of shit.
Literally.
Literally. Fecal matter.
Yeah. Like I said before, maybe we should forget about making these extra restrooms and just throw these people in a recycling bin. I don't know.
Shit. Quarantine the block. Quarantine the block, right? All right, man. So we're going to move into Nessa's service announcement. What you got for us?
Oh, Kellen's not here. We never recorded my little intro yet.
Technically, we did. We just didn't edit it yet.
Oh, really?
I don't have it ready for you yet. Sorry.
Okay. It's all good.
I got it. I got you next week for sure.
All right, cool. Appreciate that. So, anywho. All right. It's NSA brought to you by Miss Nessa, aka Blazing Mommy. So, this week's topic is Relationships 102. And I say 102 because being that it's yet again September, aka Take a Man on a Date Month. If you was fucking with us since last year, we had covered relationships and dating in 2016 from a male's perspective. And I'm going to revisit the topic to see how it is now in 2017, a whole year later. So when we first visited this topic, y'all too, Mr. Marco and Mr. Mark, were single. So I just wanted to see, you know, if you guys were listening to this last year, we did episode 34, which was No Crying on the First Date featuring my girl Sheena, and episode 35, Musical Chairs featuring David K. So,
not to interrupt, check out David K's YouTube. I know he does a lot of cover. He does a lot.
He's
great on the piano keys. So check him out, guys. Check him out.
Yeah. Shout out to him. So I didn't really put too much into it. I was just listening to this because, you know, how on Facebook memories shit pops up or whatever. And I had seen something like one of our episodes like, oh, so I actually went back and was like, listen to it. We had a good time. Good conversation. So some of the rules that we came up with, I was wondering, like, would you say that you guys applied it to your guys' lives, like now, in order to be in the situation that you guys are in right now? Or
so what were the things that we said?
Yeah, because I don't remember.
It's been a year.
I called in that episode. I wasn't there physically. So
for the second one, you were there for the first one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you call it? Well, I didn't really write them down, but I know obviously the first one was No Crying on the First Day. I know y'all obviously wasn't crying.
Nah, I'm sure as hell didn't cry on the first date.
But right. It's more so like what advice?
Like
what?
You sitting in the car like Money Mitch or something.
Yeah.
Fucking dad me. Nah. But
this table's so nice. Yeah. Costell. Dead ass. She didn't let me pay the whole bill. She did half on a nigga.
Ew. What kind of cry? That sounded like a laugh. Like,
right.
No, but so what like advice do you have to? Okay, because remember a couple episodes ago, I touched on it being cuffing season.
Yes, mm-hmm. Cuffing season is still upon
us. Y'all are cuffed, you know? Y'all are cuffed technically.
We're cuffed.
No, we're cuffed.
No, I know, but I'm saying cuffing season, not like it just happened. Like, y'all were already like...
Pre-cuffing season, yeah.
Yeah, we were already accounted for since cutting season.
Yeah.
Which is spring and summer.
Y'all made it past that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what advice do you have for those that are trying to get into the relationship game for now?
You just got to be straight up. Straight up and straightforward, and let them know what you want.
Because I know you guys learned a lot.
Yeah, be straight up.
Be straight up.
I'm pretty sure we might be repeating ourselves, but, you know, be straight up with the person you're going to deal with or, you know, having a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And be straight up with yourself. Like,
yeah. Like, personally, like, it's like this. I'm giving some truth about myself. When I ended up, you know, getting physical with my date, who is now my girlfriend, and another young lady invited me out to play pool with her. So after the fact we played pool, you know, I wanted to be a gentleman. She wanted me to kiss her on the lips, but I just couldn't do it. So I just kissed her in the cheek and called it a night.
You know this was a while ago.
This was a while ago. This was a while ago. You know, like, from then on, I knew that I'm not like a multiple woman type of guy. I'm a one at a time, you know, one lady at a time person. So I know that mentally I'm there for monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, period. There are some problems I do have. I do have a looking problem. And I noticed that as a man, you know, you got to be careful because your girl might be looking too what you're looking at. So, fellas, be careful, you know, and also, you know,
women too, women. Man. Some of y'all too. So,
and women,
I mean, if y'all
just to reassure you, you know, if a man's just looking and that's it, he's not hollering at her, he's not following, sliding any DMs, if he's not trying to do anything that's out of order. Hey, no harm, no foul. But that's just a little bit of my personal things that I went through, I succumbed to. So I'm just sharing a little bit more of myself. But yeah, I realized that I'm a one woman man. Perfect. That I didn't know that about myself. When I was single, I knew, and I was like mingling and shit. Man, I didn't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But once I made a connection, that's when I was like, okay, I can't be going around just slinging D everywhere like that. It just wasn't in my DNA.
Moving around like this hepatitis.
Oh, my gosh.
Basically. Basically. At that time, was Ebola. But around that time, I think that Ebola scare was dying off, and now it's Hep A. There's always some new. There's always some shit coming back, some throwback disease and some shit.
He's throwing around that Marcola.
Marcola?
Hey, what? Hell no!
Hell no! That shit sounds horrible.
That shit sound like a bad cola. You know what I'm saying? A bad, like, that shit's worse than Shasta, nigga. What the fuck? That you get from the 49-cent store. Hey, let me get that more cola, 49 cents. Oh, fuck out of here.
That diet Marcola.
Fuck none of that shit. Water. alkaline water. Preferred. but yeah, definitely just, you know, let me get back to what I was saying. Yeah, just I'm just a one woman type of person, and that's what I realized, you know, unlike another person we will mention in the on the podcast, but I'm a one woman person. So that's one thing I realized about myself, and that's the one thing you realize when you start dating or being in relationships and things like that. My situation is different from Easy's. My situation was I wasn't looking for a relationship. I was good on my own. I was just, you know, I was still healing emotionally, finding to love myself, respect myself, and just enjoy life and good conversation, a couple of casual dates here and there. You know, stuff happens serendipitously. Yeah. And yeah, there you have it. We ended up being together for almost about a year. You know, she told me she would have cuffed me, but she was waiting on me for another 2 months. So I had her on the ringer. But at the time, I still wanted to still, you know, casually date and just, you know, have a conversation with a couple of other young females. And that's what I was wrestling with, my conflict. It was like, nigga, you going to miss all this other ass when I come around. But at the same time, you have something good in front of you. Why not? Why lose the opportunity of something that you may have? And that's what I think about the thing that what Jeff Bezos always talk about, who is the owner of Amazon, the regret minimization factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would 80 years from now, would you regret not taking a chance on this woman? Even if it doesn't work out completely, but something that you could learn, maybe you could learn how to be in a healthier relationship compared to your past. Give her a chance to see where it goes. So that's the conflict I had within myself about, like, Marco the nigga or Marco the man.
the gentleman.
Or the goon. You know what I mean?
Or the goon.
The goon or the gentleman. The savage or the savior. Not a savior for real, but I just try to think.
Don't save him.
The savage or the scholar. You know, there you go. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's what I was conflicting with, but I chose the red pill. The red pill and get out of the matrix and be in a relationship. I could have stayed in the blue pill, stay in the matrix, and still keep
chasing
swiping
women in the red dress.
And turning around women and chasing women with the red dress. And I mean, you know, but you know, I feel that I know that I made a great choice. She's a sweetheart, and yeah, I'm glad I made it. I know we're not perfect. No couple is perfect, but she's worth it.
Gosh, you
Drake
guys.
Lines. No,
oh my gosh.
Look at you. No, but yeah, like you said, my situation was different. I've always been an R&B ass nigga.
Yes.
That's what I call it. You know, where I wanted to be in a relationship with somebody. Women, of course, you know. I don't do that other shit, but yeah, you know, I had a whore phase. I tried it. It became a job, and I don't like jobs outside mm-hmm. of my job. So I was like, nah. And I found myself a lot of the time wanting to be romantic and intimate and all that, but I couldn't do that with
just anybody.
Just yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, chicks I'm just kicking it with. So I never showed that part until, you know, the person I'm with now. Shout out to Monica. Been knowing her for like almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those situations where I knew I wanted her. It wasn't like I'm unsure or anything or wanted to try this out. No, I just knew I wanted this person. So that's where my situation is different. I just went after
existence.
What I wanted.
Did you speak it into existence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told her that too.
Mm-hmm.
We laugh about it now. So,
and it's funny, like physically, like my lady fits the bill what I'm attracted to.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I lucked out
curly
on that
hair.
Too. Yeah, I'm a sucker for curls. So, you know, that panned out. But yeah, anything else next? What's up?
Yeah, so I was having a conversation at work with my coworkers and with some of the teens, and again, also what I wanted to revisit is the whole talking, dating, relationship stages, like that there's levels. So in speaking to them, they were saying there's actually four levels: talking, entertaining, and then dating, and then it evolves to a relationship. So would you say that, because you guys know that I really dislike the word talking, but would you guys say that talking is still has the same meaning it did a year ago or however long, you know, this word has?
Talking is talking. Any form of communication, if it's the phone, text message, Snapchat, any means that where you guys can communicate constantly.
Discussion.
And having
what?
And having the
I said discussion.
And having the responsiveness and enjoying each other's conversation. Yes, that's talking, but – I mean, talking is kind of like we're talking and planning on possibly trying to see what's up with each other.
And I say that because that's where everybody was kind of like, eh, it was a gray area because everyone was like, some people were saying talking means that it should be exclusive. And then you got other people who say like, it's okay to be talking to multiple people because
talking is talking. So I think that's is open and free. Like if you're talking, like it's still there. It's still free game until you guys are actually saying yes, we are official. It's, you know,
it's free game.
It's right. It's free game.
Yeah, like if you're just talking and you're not official.
In the dating world, in the single world. Like Snoop Dogg said, even though he talked about pimping, he said, you got to have a stomach for this shit.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know, you got to put your ego, men, especially men, you have to put your ego to the side. If you are talking to her, she's talking to five other niggas. You got to put that in your mind. Even though she's not talking to five other niggas, you got to know in the back of your mind, you are not the only nigga she's talking to.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I was going to say that. So to piggyback on that, like on some real shit, like if you choose to be exclusive to that person, don't expect them to do the same back while you're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get all offended or your feelings all butt hurt. No, just choose what you're going to do with this situation and just know that since you aren't together, you can't feel no type of way.
And like I said, in that sense, you have to put your ego to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And learn how to stomach some shit. Because you might not like what you see. You may be like, oh, I'm talking to her. And you go on her snap and she's chatting with another nigga at the bar or at the club. And you like, and you know, some of your niggas like, nigga, I thought that was your girl. Nah, you gotta
tell them niggas, nah, them, man. Nah, we're just
talking. You gotta take, you know what I'm saying? Take it to the chin, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Swallow that lump and act like nothing happened. Oh, we good.
You good?
It ain't nothing, you know.
That's
Saudi face. I just Saudi face,
though. I'm gonna see what's up with this other girl.
Right.
And that's when DMs get dry and you're like, fuck.
So would you say that it goes from, like I said, talking to entertaining to dating to relationship? Or would you say that entertaining and dating is low-key in the same?
Entertaining is like talking with privilege. Like, entertaining is kind of like talking along the lines of putting out some sexual shit, some sexual innuendos. Mm. You know, like, you guys are comfortable enough to talk about sex. I think that's where it starts. I think the entertaining part. Now you get sexually curious about to the person you talking to. And I think that's the difference between talking and entertaining. Entertaining comes with talking, flirting, and curiosity.
Yeah, I feel like entertaining is when it cuts through the surface part of talking. Like once it begins to cut through that.
Asking for company. Can you come by and visit me? Can be chill.
So do you think it's cool to entertain more than one person? Because talking, we say, it was more so kind of like free game because it's the beginning stages.
It's still not exclusive.
It's still not exclusive.
Anything goes.
What's your take on it?
I have to agree. Like the rules apply. Like if you're not exclusive, if you're not official, you can't be mad about it. Like, yeah, that's just the way.
Still, anything goes.
Yeah,
you haven't signed the deal. The contract isn't signed. You put the nigga through workouts. And that's it.
You put the nigga through workouts.
You doing nigga tryout workouts, and I'll give you a call back if we want you on the squad.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Or like auditioning. Like, we'll give you a call back.
So from what I'm understanding, out of the four levels, you would say that.
Two of them.
So then what about the dating and relationship stage? Is it just the relationship stage is where you're considered, you know, exclusive? Or can it be
dating? Can still be casual.
Yeah.
Until you hit relationship, that's exclusive.
Boyfriend, girlfriend.
Title, basically.
Title.
Yeah, official.
It's official when it's relationship. So the first three steps, all preliminary.
Okay.
It's like It's like first, second, third interview. Before you get the position. Think of it like that.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
That is a good analogy. Mm-hmm. And these are talking to women, like the teens and my coworkers. These are like women, because when we were talking about this, one of them, she overheard us speaking about the different levels. And then when we're talking about talking, and I was like, well, low key, I feel like it's open, you know? And she was like, wait, what? She's like, oh no, if a dude's talking to me, she's like, you're going to shut down all the other bitches.
And there we go with ego. There we go with ego. You got to put your ego to the side. Ladies, you know it too. You got egos too. You got to put that shit to the side and know that you are not the only woman he is talking to.
Right.
Everybody in this day and age, especially in the digital age, are so scared of being played.
She's like 22, by the way.
People, yeah, exactly. She's young. She still got Similac in her breath.
you're burnt. Similac. What, mixed with alcohol?
Probably.
Tequila and Similac?
I don't know about kids these days, man. I'm scared for our future sometimes. When I see them on the internet, but them just a Florida niggas, though. But anyway.
I wish I was there. I would have told her, no, your heart about to be broken right now, because I'm going to let you know.
You know what I'm saying? Ladies, young ladies, I'm going to put you on game. Y'all need to stop thinking that you're the only woman in the world because you have a vagina.
And then, because that was going to be my next thing. I was going to ask, what advice do you have for the women? Because, you know, we talk more so like getting it from like the men's perspective about other men, like, you know, to give us insight. But we want to know,
I'll just say put your ego to the side. I know that. Like I said, especially here in Southern California, it's competition everywhere. I see a lot of women go to the gym to get in shape, and women can say, like, I'm doing it for myself. True to a certain degree, but you want niggas to look at you too. I mean, niggas ain't going to the gym for other niggas to look at them, who are heterosexual, by the way. You know what I mean? I mean, you might get a heterosexual compliment, like, damn, nigga, you swole. That's about it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, you know, niggas are not going to the gym unless they're bodybuilding professionally to get there for them to look at themselves in the mirror. They want women to want them. And y'all do the same thing too, for the same reasons. Like, I never seen so many butt workout on Instagrams. Y'all do that shit just for the hell of it? Fuck no, you don't. You do that shit for... Get fuck out of here, Nessa. You do that shit for a nigga to look at you too. Like, come on, man. That's what we all do. My girl does her butt workouts. I look at her and she likes that shit. So, like, come on, man. Like, but honestly, ladies, young ladies especially, when you guys are on the talking stage, it's still free game. You got to put the ego to the side and realize that it's still free game. It could go any way. It's up to you how you play the game. And people say, I don't play games, but nigga, in a sense, it is a game until it's not a game. And when it's not a game, that's a relationship. And that's when you guys have to learn to be in a relationship. But right now, y'all 20. The fuck you thinking about a relationship for? A great man once said in the song, marrying in our 20s. Now, where's the fun in that? If you guys know, that's Drake. But but yeah, definitely. Like, enjoy your early 20s. If you want to go out and hoe out, but be safe. You know, get all that shit out of your system, because by the time you 25, you 30, you may be a little bit past your prime. You're ready to settle down, have kids. Get all that shit out your system in your early 20s. But also, at times, still focusing on... You got to find that balance. Focus on yourself and hoeing. Same thing for men. Focus on yourself and home.
I think those go hand in hand.
I mean, focus on yourself, like, in your education, getting your shit together, stuff like that.
Yeah. And hoeing.
I'm giving unconventional advice, I know, to the younger listeners who happen to listen to this podcast.
Just keeping it real.
I'm keeping it real.
Nothing's safe.
Save your money, you know, get your education, you know, have fun, wear protection, go travel the world. Man, because life is too damn short. This motherfucker's out there fighting for our freedom out there in the U.S. military, wishing they could do the same fucking thing right now.
Now, let me say this, though. If you run into someone good, and you know this is...
it's a good thing. Take it.
Yeah, a good thing. Take it.
Take it.
You know.
Yeah, you don't want to be 29 and be like Issa and barely discovering her host.
Yeah, because you have to experience relationship to learn how to be in one.
Yeah, definitely.
And as well, learn...
It's character
what type of
building.
Person you want, you know, because sometimes you get in a relationship and you learn,
you find out this is not the person. You have this ideology. But it was the funny thing about women in the young in the early 20s. Y'all crack me the fuck up. Y'all want a nigga who, like, y'all have this, like, long list of what you want in a perfect mate. But as you get older, that shit gets shorter and shorter and shorter as you age. By the time you're 30, you only probably have like five things that you want in a perfect mate. As compared when you're 21, it's like 100 things that you want from a perfect mate. So it's so funny when young women get older and more mature, they realize some of the shit that thought that mattered to them doesn't matter to them at all. Same thing about men. Mm-hmm. It's the greatness of the maturation process that both men and women go through as we get older.
I think I caught on young as far as like wanting those things. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I already know what those things have or what they're not supplying. So
yeah,
let me just like this type of woman, you know, with these qualities, and I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah, so you know, definitely. All right.
Well, that's it. Any more advice?
I'm good. If you guys want more advice, you know, go ahead and send us an email at jiggasuppodcast@gmail.com. jiggasuppodcast@gmail.com. jiggasuppodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. jiggasuppodcast@gmail.com.
Well, thank you for that. So basically, wrap it up. Put aside your ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not official until the fourth stage.
We got to remember that, ladies. Fourth stage.
The other three, you're open and you're single still.
Still single like a slice of cheese.
You know, motherfucker, that shit, you know, on Facebook, it don't say dating. It don't say entertainment.
True.
It can't say complicated, though.
It don't say talking. You know what I'm saying? So
it says single, in a relationship, engaged, married, or widow.
Yeah.
Or divorced.
Yep.
Those are what you have on Facebook, nigga.
I didn't know it had that.
Yeah.
I've never changed my relationship status ever, and I've had Facebook for 13 years since it first started. Like
I can tell you, women are fucking savages. Because the first time I ever changed my relationship status on Facebook,
DMs.
Damn. Just one, but still, it was just.
It was a singular, not plural.
Just a DM. But it was just like the savagery. Like real time savagery.
That's tight. I've had that.
That's
happen.
The test.
That's the real.
That's the test.
Yeah. That's the real time savagery.
And it's not official. Like I always joke, me and my coworkers used to joke that it's not official unless it's FBO. Facebook official. Because that's what people know. Okay, it's real. They took the time to change their status. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real. I remember Ashley. Did shout out to Ms. Media. Did Ashley hit you up about it? I was like, is Marco single now?
Yeah. As soon as you change it, phone calls start going off. It was her. like instantaneously. Like 5 minutes window once you changed it. Single. Marco's now single.
That is so ring, crazy.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That's funny. What people look at too. Like, damn. You know, they'll look
shout
at,
out to that's my sis true. Right there. That's my sis. She got her second child on the way with Antoine, with Fresh. So
everyone over here having babies, getting married. I'm sitting here like,
stop feeling sorry for yourself, Nyeka.
Feel sad.
You gotta know your worth and know what you want at the table.
Now,
okay. Well, let that
ain't nobody
nigga
offering me that shit.
Let that nigga know what you were.
Nobody.
No, when nobody's you have the offering me that.
No
right
one's
now
offering.
Nah.
Well,
nobody
keep
has
loving
that
yourself.
I'm
nobody
interested in.
There we go.
Then keep loving
there we
yourself.
Go.
I'm keeping it real.
There we go.
And keep it real. Well, keep loving yourself, and eventually, you know, hey, you can't wait forever. There might be another nigga that might catch your eye too, and you be like,
I'm waiting for him to come through. Like, what's up? I still got how many more days, and I still haven't taken nobody on a date. In fact, it's restaurants week starts on Sunday. Holla at me if you want me to take you on a date.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, shit.
There you have it, fellas.
Messer want to take you out on a date. I might as well put that on Instagram.
Do it.
She want you with the Uncle Sam. That's the one to take. All
right, now,
you
fellas,
out on
hit
the
her
day.
Ticket master now. Sunday.
Oh, shit.
All right. it. So that was good. That was great on the NSA. Thanks for a recap on that one. Because I haven't
thought about
that one. But yeah, man, we're going to, since Kmart's not here, man, I just want to talk about these quick hot topics, man.
All right.
Are we still on the relationship boat segue?
No? Oh, you know, I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to course right back to it. Because I know I'm not a sports podcast, but I know some of you guys like it when we talk about sports, especially football.
You hit the switch probably.
Hello. Oh, yeah. I hit the switch. My bad, y'all. My bad.
You got excited.
That's Matt. That's Matt unprofessional B.
Nah,
that's
he was Matt excited.
Unprofessional
he was excited.
B. Well, you know, I'm excited. Like I said, I always had my conflicted feelings about the NFL because the only reason why Kaepernick hasn't had a job, that's some bullshit. And I do support Colin Kaepernick, but you know, they say black out the NFL. I'm like, dude, my nigga, my team hasn't been relevant in over 15 fucking years. I got to at least see how my Raiders are doing. And right now, they're doing spectacular. You know what I'm saying? They got a week one win against a good Tennessee team. The Jets, we knew we were going to blow their asses out, and we did that 45-20. And the thing that caught my eye was niggas in the Jets were getting butthurt because Marshawn Lynch was getting hyphy on the sideline.
Yeah.
Minding his own business.
They didn't understand it, yeah.
They didn't understand it. Like, that's Oakland culture. This nigga is, like, really a peace offering. The Raiders are offering to have a peace offering for the people of the city of Oakland that, hey, even though we'll be leaving to Vegas, we got the hometown running back who want to be there, and he's happy. He's happy. That's a happy Marshawn Lynch, and I think it's really dope. On a football personnel aspect, I don't think any fucking defense. I mean, the only defense that scares me right now is the Denver Broncos defense. I ain't going to lie. How they smacked the fucking Cowboys, I'm like, oh, shit. That's a Super Bowl caliber defense. But we have a Super Bowl caliber offense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got Derek Carr throwing the ball. We got Beast Mode with two great backups, complimentary backs with DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. And Jalen Richard is fucking killing it. We got a three-head at tight end. We got Lee Smith. We got Jared Cook that we picked up from Green Bay. And then we got Clyde Walford. Then we got Cooper and Crabtree. And Crabtree, yeah, if you get picked up on your fantasy, that's 26 points, 3 touchdowns, 80 yards.
They're like the towers on a chessboard.
You know what I mean? And then we got Cordell Patterson, who's a kick return specialist, but we used him on a running play, and he took it to the house.
Mm.
So it's like, pick your poison, nigga. Like, we're doing it. And our defense is getting a lot. It's improving. It's not exactly there. But from seeing what our first-round draft pick, Gerrion Conley, deflecting balls, something I have that's very rare from Raiders cornerbacks ever since Nnamdi Asamoah. You know, Carl Joseph is a fucking animal, you know, with the safety blitz. And he's just like, he's a hitman. And you and please don't forget about Bruce Irvin. And on the side, you know Khalil Mack comes with that truck, boy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be a fun season. We're in a competitive division. The AFC West is fucking just beastly. The Chiefs are looking great. The Broncos have a fucking, you know, incredible defense. I can't lie. I cannot front about it. And even if the Chargers are 0-2, they have lost close games.
Yeah,
those are close games, though. It wasn't like they got their asses blown out. So you can't take them lightly. But what I will say, it's a damn shame that they can't sell out a fucking soccer stadium in Carson.
Oh, man.
Dean Spanos, you are embarrassed. You're an embarrassment of a franchise that you're doing. You really hurt the people of San Diego.
Yeah. What was
and also, I'm like I said, I'm not even a Chargers fan. I even told Nessa, I'm like, that's fucked up that Antonio Gates get to break the touchdown record as an LA Charger. That's fucked up. That was supposed to be San Diego's moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they stuck by this motherfucker's side. And it's crazy. Like, the Chargers had, in San Diego, they had 40,000 season ticket holders. Now they moved to Carson. They can't even sell out a fucking soccer stadium. And at a good 10,000 people who showed up were from Miami. They were Miami Dolphins fans. So just think about it. Every home game is going to be an away game. They got 16 away games the way I'm looking at it. Because come New Year's Eve, when Raider Nation come back to L.A., the L.A., the only team that they wanted back in L.A., not the Rams. Sorry, K.
Right.
My barber, he's a Rams fan.
K-Cuts.
You know, like, you know, they wanted the Raiders.
It is a lot of low-key Rams fans, though.
Yeah, I mean, because they were there first, but, like, come on, man. You know where the heart is, man. Yeah.
You know I know.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's
see
that's
that pirate
what,
on every window.
Out in L.A., man. So, shit. I mean, from them moving to Vegas, that's just like, okay, it's a little bit further away. But, you know, we'll see, man. Another sport topic. I got to talk about this fucking draw between Canelo and Triple G. This shit.
Yo.
Don't get me wrong. The fighters went out there and they fought hard. This nigga Canelo was hitting Triple G with shots that would drop any mere mortal.
Mm-hmm.
But Triple G was like a fucking Terminator. He just took the shot and kept walking him down from round one to round 12.
Yeah, I was more impressed with the whole walking down. Like, motherfuckers get tired, you know, let alone taking punches like and throwing them. He didn't look like he lost a step the entire fight.
And I know mentally I had to fuck with Canelo. He's like, that would have put any man out.
Yeah.
Welcome to 160, motherfuckers. You're fighting niggas who are bigger than you right now. So, and, you know, I mean, you're not fighting no Amir Khans. You're not fighting no fucking smaller dudes. The only smaller dude you couldn't fuck with was Floyd Money Mayweather, and he outboxed the shit out you, and you try to fight like him.
Right.
And let's get it real. Like, for my Mexican boxing fans, you know that Canelo don't fight Mexican style. He fighting like a nigga right now.
You know what, though? I will say, he tried it. It worked. For me, it worked the first three rounds, even though he lost. One of the judges said he lost the first round. But the first three looked like he was in control until he started fucking.
The middle rounds.
My God. Like, dude, get off the ropes and stop fucking.
What did I say before we watched the fight? I said Canelo can't take rounds off and he can't get on the ropes. And he did the two fucking things that I told him not. I mean, it's not like I'm in his corner, but I told him not to do. Yelling at
like
the TV.
I told him.
I told this nigga not to fucking go on the ropes.
Like you in his ear.
Like
stop
I'm in his ear.
Stop taking rounds off, nigga.
Stop taking rounds off and get off the fucking ropes. And it was so funny when he tried to lure him to the rope. The referee Kenny Bayless gave him a look like, "You sure you want to do this?"
Started backing up like,
"Oh, you
snap.
Sure you want to take?
Give him some room."
You sure you want to?
I give him credit though for taking some punches that I thought he should have went to sleep from. You know,
from Golovkin too. Yeah. Golovkin gave him some shots. Boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The ones he took, like I'm like, oh, you ain't sleepy? All right, man, keep on going.
But I know I can tell you right now. As much as they shook, you know, like tell each other like those punches didn't hurt them. To psych themselves out, you know them niggas had to take some fucking Advil or something.
Something, because like
they had some headaches.
He took one clear, like, and just looked at Triple G and shook his head. No, that did nothing. And I'm like, bullshit.
You know that hurt.
Your head ringing right now. You just slowly shaking it off by saying no.
You psyching yourself out, and that's what it is. You know, sometimes you gotta psych yourself out and tell your opponent, like, even though you got lumpy ass face, you're like, still ain't hurting me.
I mean, you know, maybe. You know what? Maybe for the time being, it's not. Your adrenaline
is pumping. Because your adrenaline is pumping.
You know, I understand. You know, you focus. You're in the zone. You're in the moment. Whatever, nigga. But as soon as you walk off that motherfucking stage, as soon as you come out that ring, I bet you reality will kick in.
And I could tell you that Triple G is probably pissing blood because the body shots Canelo was giving him were ungodly, boy. I'm telling
you. Man.
He was body snatching that dude.
He should have stuck to that.
But as far as the decision, I had a feeling. I had an inkling.
That was crazy.
I was like, dude, this fight's going to the cards. I can't really see Canelo being a winner, but they don't want to give Triple G the fight either. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they called this shit a draw.
Okay.
Right before they announced that shit.
Listeners, I was with this nigga when he said it. It was right before they officially announced the the results. Like, we're sitting there. During the fight, he's like, if Canelo does this and this, he's going to lose. But if he goes through the fight and last, they're going to give it to Canelo and cheat Triple G. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. You know, it's boxing. When we get to the end, Canelo didn't clearly hold his own. Triple G obviously took over the fight. So the first thing he says is, man, I think it's going to be a draw. I'm like, for real? I ain't seen a draw fight in a long ass time. And they fucking call a draw.
So, nigga, Vegas, Caliente, where Viejas, wherever you put money on the fight, going back to the house. Nobody getting paid. unless you call the draw. If you call draw on that fight, you made so much fucking money betting. But if you put money either on Canelo or Triple G, you ain't getting a man fucking dime from the house.
I would have never seen a draw.
Vegas wins. That's who won. Vegas wins. Oscar De La Hoya wins by he's gonna milk a rematch. Golden Boy wins. T-Mobile Arena wins.
Right.
Vegas Hotels wins. Right. Vegas wins.
It's like Mortal Kombat. Vegas wins. So, flawless victory.
For real.
The fans win, but for me personally, I wanted a winner. Yeah. I wanted to feel invested in whoever won or whoever lost, you know what I mean? And then motherfuckers would go back and forth on the you know, online. And now Canelo and Triple G fans are divided more than ever.
Yeah. I enjoyed the fight, though. I felt satisfied even when they called a draw. I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with that.
And it was funny. That's just me, though. And like this Triple G Canelo fight got Mexicans divided.
Yeah, like that was crazy.
That was crazy. Like, they love, like, so there are Mexicans that are hardcore Triple G. Like, he's like he's an adoptive son of Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, if they could adopt Triple G to be a Mexican, they would. He's like an honorary citizen of Mexico. They love him that much because he said that I fight Mexican style. And he likes to go forward. He likes to go toe to toe. As far as Canelo, he's going the Floyd Mayweather route. He wants to hit, not get hit.
Slip punches
and all that. But I will say, Canelo, if you want to work on your marketability as like the new Golden Boy, got to step your English game up.
Yeah.
You look too white to be Mexican. Learn how to speak some English. Get that white people money. They look at you. They love you. You're a ginger Mexican. You know what I'm saying? You look Irish, but you're Mexican. You know, that's why they call you Canelo, because Canelo means cinnamon. So, that's what it is. So, I'm like, man, step your English up, because Gennady Golovkin is learning how to speak English. He's getting better at it, too.
Yeah.
And when the decision was made, you could look at the body language of both fighters. Triple G's holding his belts like, I don't give a fuck. I didn't lose.
Yeah, and Canelo was like, man, I want to fight again.
He felt like he won, but Canelo had his body language saying that he felt like he lost that fight.
Yeah.
And
regardless of what he was saying, I feel like I won the fight. I can't
Your body language tells different, bro. Yeah. It tells a different story, but I hope the rematch happens.
Me too.
And
it's going to be in Cinco de Mayo.
Follow the money.
Yeah, follow the
Cinco
money.
Cinco de Mayo is on a Saturday.
There you have it. Ness is calling it already. But
damn,
in that weight class,
you should bet on the fight now. Shit,
I know, right?
I don't have a winner though. I don't follow boxing.
Call a
like
draw
that.
And get some money.
I know, right?
Do a part three, motherfucker, make some money. Maybe we can go to the third fight. Shit.
Let's go,
cause you rich as fuck.
For real, I got y'all,
man. So as far as that, as a boxing fan, like I said, I'm satisfied. For that weight class, that 160 weight class, it's getting tough, man. You got Billy Joel Saunders, you have Jermell and Jermall Charlo, you got the Charlo twins there, you got Danny Jacobs there, you got Peter Quillen. Peter Quillen got knocked out by Danny Jacobs, but there's some good fighters at 160. So Canelo, if you really want to be at 160, you gonna fight some niggas who are a lot bigger than you naturally.
Right.
You know, so do what you gotta do. I wish you the best of luck. Same thing about Gennady Golovkin. Wherever you guys go, I hope it's the rematch. You guys deserve a rubber match. You know, I don't want to see you guys fight anyone else besides you guys get a clear winner for that fight. Mm-hmm. And fuck that judge who judged 118 and 110. She is fucking blind.
Not just that judge. Fuck the judge that called a tie 114-114. I'm like, nah, bruh. It could be close by one point or two, but
I think boxing it wasn't judges. A tie. And I think the reason why people don't want former boxers to judge the fight, because, maybe some of them took a lot of head shots and they're not able to, they'll find some excuse to say,
I call bullshit on that, because they can easily select the right boxers that know what the fuck they talking about.
Exactly.
Put them as a commentator first. If they know what they talking about, Make him a judge after that.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't mind, like, Lennox Lewis, Paulo Malignaggi, Roy Jones being actual boxing judges instead of being commentators. Even though they're great as boxing commentators, but, you know, I think you need people, and boxers need to be sanctioned. It's so fucking corrupt. It's crazy. And that's why MMA is winning, because people are not avoiding each other. You might get some fucked up decisions in MMA, but... You know, there's no like, oh, I'm avoiding this person. I'm waiting for this, you know.
Right, it's immediate part two and yeah. stuff like that. Like, they don't waste no time.
They waste no time. They get the fans what they want. So, yeah. But overall, I am still glad as a boxing fan. This is a great year, and it hasn't even finished yet. You have Deontay Wilder fighting Ortiz. That's a good WBC heavyweight fight. You have Guillermo Rigondeaux fighting Lomachenko.
I hear those R's, Mark.
Right?
I
know. I was thinking the same thing. Dang, little lady over there got him rolling his R's.
Nah, I knew
R
had to roll my R's before her. So. I'm cultured. Semi.
That's how she fell.
I know how to
you.
Roll my R's and use chopsticks.
You're burnt. That's how she fell in love with you. You rolled them R's in the right spot.
Marco. My name is Marco.
Yeah, maybe. Marco. But yeah,
I
man.
Can't do that for shit.
But to circumvent back to the relationship stuff, enough with boxing. I gotta bring this up, man.
All right.
My our dude, Kev Hart, man.
Out here being
messy in the streets, man.
It's necessary to bring it up, so. Damn it, Kevin.
Like I said it on Twitter, millions of monogamy don't mix. And people could say it's karma because Kevin Hart cheated on Tori with Iniko, who is his current wife.
So
but supposedly
is that,
I heard that that's not true.
I was about
like,
to say, is that like confirmed or?
No, because I
Tori,
heard.
Tori said it. Tori put it on IG. She was like, you know what happened, Iniko. Like, don't play. Like, you were the other woman.
Ouch.
Tori knew that Iniko was the other woman.
Right.
Yeah.
She made the, yeah. She said it. But.
Yeah. She said Iniko was the other woman, who is Kevin Hart's current wife and soon to be new baby mom.
Yeah, but.
I'm so skeptical though.
But
like,
she could be saying that because.
To add more fuel to the fire. Allegedly then.
Yeah.
But let's say if this did happen, if this was the actual truth, it's karma. Like, on Iniko and Kev.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Kev looking real stupid right now.
Kev,
and Iniko,
you know,
looking real
that,
embarrassed right now.
Like, you know that you have a target on your back. Black man, successful, Hollywood, making all kinds of money, family man. And maybe that's Kevin Hart's only kryptonite. This dude's non-threatening. He doesn't take drugs. He's very safe. White people love him. They're not, you know, they don't feel threatened by his because of his stature. He's a funny dude. You know, he's universal appealing to the masses. He's a philanthropist. He gives out. He's motivational with the fitness, with Nike. But he just can't leave the pussy alone. He can't stay in one box. He likes to think outside the box and get in other boxes and people always say, well, men, it's just natural for men to do it. Some people say men don't cheat. That's just, you know, encoded in their DNA. I call bullshit because, you know, everyone has a choice.
Yeah.
You can't sit there like, oh, men don't cheat. This is how men are. It's like, no, nigga.
It's a natural thing.
It's a natural thing.
We've always been that way. Like, look, bro. You can look at the situation, and if you want to dive in and cheat, you made the decision to do that motherfucking shit.
Exactly.
You didn't start walking and you was like, no, stop, buddy. Stop it.
Like, I'll say
this. We're not going to fuck
like,
her tonight.
And I always said, like, if you're a habitual cheater, that is Kevin Hart. You're a habitual cheater. You really need to consider polyamorous, open, or polygamous relationships. You have to consider it. Because now you can't come around and play the fucking I'm a husband and a family man. You know what I mean? You did it. You fucked up once. And the public let you go with it because you admitted to your fuck up. Now you did it twice. Bruh, you got to start being a poster boy of fucking polygamous, polyamorous, open relationships. You have to. because now people are not going to buy into that bullshit. Like, oh, family man, my ass.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dro, come save this nigga, man.
You stupid as hell. Hey,
see, Kevin Hart can learn from Dro.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we don't know. We have to wait till
season
3. We're
talking about
Dro
from Insecure, folks, if you haven't caught on yet.
And you know, it's crazy to think about that as well. It's like, damn, is he really telling the truth? And for Aniko, it's kind of like, damn, Aniko, you got to stomach that shit. You know what I'm
Literally.
Saying? Literally. Like, you got to stomach that shit. You knew that Kev was having trouble with Tori. At the time, he wasn't officially divorced. And I don't know. I've never been married, never been separated or anything like that. But, you know, for the same women that criticize, you know, Kevin Hart for cheating, you better not be the other woman in your lifetime. Like, you better not. And I'm not saying, like, unknowingly. It better be unknowingly because mm-hmm. everybody knew Kevin Hart was married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew that. But, you know, I understand how women could be tricked to think that, you know, the dude wasn't married and he was single or he's saying, oh, it's not working now. We're going to break up. Don't give that nigga the fucking pussy until you see them papers. Don't give him not a nan motherfucking thing, ladies. Until you see those papers, you see that ring off his finger, then go for it.
But the girl that he... you know, mess with, she knew about all that, and she from what I read is that she did it to teach him a lesson.
That sounds like how to be a player,
right?
Well, I mean, but now she's gonna have the FBI coming down her ass for extortion, and she gonna do some time. So I hope
she's
it was
stupid.
I hope that now you gotta learn the lesson, bitch.
But, and then you see who's representing her, right?
That
same one
Lord
that did Black China and Usher, and the one for Usher, like that's
that fucking sleazeball bitch, man.
Yeah,
she's not human, dog. Like
wait, her fucking license.
Like
man,
where's her soul? This woman has no soul.
She's just trying to hop on any opportunity to.
Well, that's extortion. So it's like, and Kevin Harvest, like, fuck, bitch, I ain't giving no millions of dollars. Yeah. I'll tell on myself.
Yeah.
I save money, and you think Nico's going to go somewhere? Hell no. Nah. She's going to stay and stick through it. But she's going to give Kevin Hart that work, though, once that baby come out.
Yeah.
But how do you guys know that she didn't already know about it?
What, Nico?
Yeah, that she didn't know about the cheating. Because it could have happened. She found out about it, and they was just like, we're just going to keep it on hush because, number one, she don't want to be embarrassed. And then number two, you know, whatever. But because it was coming out, that's why he made the public apology, obviously he wasn't sorry that it happened. He wasn't sorry. He was just sorry that he got caught. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real. Because had she not threatened, you know, for him to give her money, you know, before she put it out there, would any of this even came out?
No.
You know?
Absolutely not.
So... I don't know.
Is it a marketing strategy for him to get, you know, could this be a marketing strategy for him to get noticed again? Because, you know, that's how the things work in Hollywood. Like, you always got to get some scandal and have people talk about you to be trending. And since Kevin Hart doesn't do drugs, he's more of a clean person.
But I heard he drinks. Like,
he drinks,
he
but he,
have,
yeah, he probably have a drinking
not,
problem.
Yeah, I was about
he's
to say,
not perfect.
Like, he didn't put that he's like a alcoholic, but he did mention. I didn't read the book or hear the audible, but like from what I've heard from someone that actually read it was giving me the fact.
Your struggles with alcoholism, definitely. But as far as, you know, him, his kryptonite is pussy, man. And that's a lot of dudes, you know, who are in a position of power or authority or influence as Kevin Hart is. When you have money, you have options. When you have options, you know, they keep coming staring at you right in your face. I mean, who's to say Kevin Hart was being Lawrence for a while? Like, oh, no, I have a wife. Nope, nope, I have a family. Nope,
and
nope, nope.
So, like,
until that one, you know, he probably just gave in. People fuck up. I mean, Jay-Z admitted that he fucked up. Eric Benet fucked up. A lot of niggas fuck up. But does that give him a pass? Fuck no. Because I know niggas won't give Issa a pass, so I can't sit here and say, oh, no, I'll get this nigga a pass. Like, no, cheating is cheating on both sexes. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Split it down the middle. I know it hurts more for guys because guys are more visual and they're more unforgiving with that shit. It's like, nigga.
And I wanted to say, like, for the whole, like, Aniko situation and stuff, or, like, anything where a chick is, like, talking shit about Kevin or Aniko situation or anything like that. Like, if you're watching Being Mary Jane, you cheer her on, shut up. If you're a fan of Olivia Pope from Scandal, shut up.
If you're defending none of those shows.
I'm gonna say if you're defending Issa, just don't shut up, but just like stop. Just simmer down. Yeah, just chill. Just chill, okay? Like, that's it. That's all I wanted to
here,
say.
Here in the Man the Jig Is Up podcast, smack. We're calling bullshit on both sides.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, nothing is safe, man.
Nothing is safe. You got to hold both sides accountable. And that comes with our objective thinking process. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be biased like, oh, no, man, fuck up. This is how we are and all that shit.
That's a cop out.
Own up to that shit, nigga. You like to fuck other women. That's cool. But you got to let people know, like, hey, girl, I'm with this polygamous shit. I'm into this open relationship shit.
We should start a No, we shouldn't. should have somebody else start a polygamous walk.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Hart, you should do a polygamous jog. You know how, like, Amber Rose has a slut walk? Yeah. He should do a polygamous jog.
You should start. I'm telling you, Kevin Hart could be the poster boy of polygamy right now. He could turn this. He has an opportunity to turn this negative into a positive and start pushing that to the mainstream media, because it has been going on. Nigga, D-Ray Davis had two girlfriends. Lou Will had two girlfriends.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have money to have two girlfriends. Like, let's be honest about that. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that having two girlfriends is safe? This nigga could cheat on both of his bitches and get another bitch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm saying polygamy, because it's open. It's honest. Like, hey, two girls. Y'all have fun. I'm gonna fuck this other girl. I'm gonna wear a condom. You know what I mean? Like, like, it's 2017. Like, go and get yours. You know what I mean? You know, life is too short. And if you're going to hoe around, but at least be honest about it. But, you know, you're trying to hide it behind this whole facade of being a family man, which is fine. He could still be a family man, but he promotes polygamy and polyamorous relationships. Fucking Will and Jada has a open relationship and they lasted for so long
because
people are just going to be attracted to other people, maybe just for a physical or a small connection, but they go back to where they know,
man. Like, for me though, like, that's
me. I know
there's two situations where I see, like, you know, it could be the long lasting one, or it can be like that, just, I don't know, like, I have that thing where if you have an open relationship, who's to say you won't run into someone else?
Yeah,
you're just
and have a connection.
Yeah, and spark a connection, and then there's trouble in the water, like, in the relationship.
I mean, it's a slippery slope, you know what I mean? Sometimes people give each other hall passes, you know, like, just to keep the relationship fresh and, you know, to see what else is out there. You're like, okay, 1 week, hall pass.
1 week?
What do you mean? Wait a minute. Why you say that?
Because I don't know. I've never heard that. Like, I've heard, like, if, like, oh, you guys was like, oh, you're going with your boys to Vegas. All right, fuck it. Like, you can have the,
like,
weekend, but, like,
moment,
the whole.
Like, a moment.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm like, 1 week? Okay. Like, that's crazy.
I've heard 1 week before.
Really? Yeah, this is my first time.
Yeah, 1 week, hall pass, you know what I mean? Yeah, they get to go look, flirt,
and all
that stuff.
I can just imagine motherfuckers just getting in every night. Like, they hit up that dude. They hit up, what's his name? What's, the one Lawrence hit up, his boy.
Chad.
Hit
up that homeboy, like that god bitch, or like that girl. I got the hall pass, homie. What's
funny?
Good.
Someone make an event on Facebook and check all the chicks on their friends list.
They're like, I got a hall pass.
Private event.
You're
invited.
DMs.
Some of them click interested.
Interested.
Going.
Oh, you got some action.
Oh, my God.
Hall pass event. That's burnt.
Oh, my God.
And you know you're going to act the damn fool, because you know he's been looking at other bitches and you're like, yo, they're going to act the damn fool.
Straight up.
All jokes.
Disclaimer.
Right.
That would never happen.
Because I know I am a one-man, one-woman man. I am a one-woman man. So for all the niggas who out there you know, have hall passes. I live vicariously through y'all. Go right. out there and have fun. I'm having fun with the one I'm
open
with.
Relationships, all that. Yeah. Have fun, you guys.
I'm having fun with the one I'm with. So
that's awesome.
So, but yeah, man, Kevin, just go out there, man. Polyamorous, polygamous, sisterhood wives, and all that. Tori and Nico, they might as well, you got a family, nigga. So, you might as well just, you know, reconcile with Tori, get back yeah. with her, and you have two women. You got Tori.
I heard they had a toxic relationship.
Yeah, they had a toxic. Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah,
like,
the co-parenting.
They couldn't coexist.
Yeah, they couldn't coexist
without throwing hands. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, I feel like she's. I don't want to sound like biased. I feel like she has like a bossy attitude to her.
Oh, Tori.
Like
Tori
was bossing him around and shit.
Tori looks like she has a very alpha personality.
Yeah.
She looked like she was ordering Kevin around. She looks quite overbearing. Mm-hmm. She looked like she could be an overbearing wife. Oh my god, overbearing women.
Looked like when Kevin was with her, he was wearing dun-dun-duns and she was wearing boxers.
So stupid. Like in the book.
Right. Get over and get this pussy, nigga.
Oh no, right. My god, I wasn't ready. Oh no, my god.
Oh my god.
I fucked up. Oh no, Kevin.
So, okay, so here's my question though. Like so you I heard you say like he was hiding behind being the family man and stuff. Do you really think like he was really just saying all that on the Power 105 interview but still doing his thing, or just at that moment? That's
I think
really
it was at
felt?
That moment, because like I think he genuinely said like cheating is a lot of work, it's a lot of this, and he's a bad cheater.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he already admitted that he cheated on his stand-up,
yeah,
he gave us the impression that he learned his lesson and he don't want to do it again.
Yeah, he did do that.
But he, I guess he caught up either to the fame or feeling untouchable. And also, it sucks for the woman because Aniko's pregnant, you know? Like,
man, I feel.
I think that's the worst feeling. Like, I understand there's like levels to this shit. Like, women getting betrayed that way hurts, but betrayed while being pregnant because she's even more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
She has hormones going on. She's carrying your fucking child still. Her body is not looking the way it used to. She got all these things rolling through her mind, and you're gonna go and do that?
But believe me, I'm not defending him. I've never been pro cheater ever in my life. I've been cheated on. But like I said, like, cause how far along is she?
She about to pop.
She about to pop.
Cause like I said, who's to say that this has happened like prior to them knowing she was pregnant or whatever the case may be.
Or even getting pregnant, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, they kind of like swept it under the rug. Mm. But then this bitch, all of a sudden,
something
came up and was like, well, damn.
I need me some money.
And then what makes it a more perfect time? Oh, his bitch is pregnant. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that that's what happened, because I honestly haven't even looked at anything. This is more so me hearing it from you guys, other people, and like kind of dabbling in, but I haven't really did my research. But this is just me just on the outside looking in. Like, so it does suck. It sucks. But who's to say that this wasn't like before that? But because the time it's coming out now, like it's starting to like come out now, it makes it bigger than what it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a part of me wish it happened before they got married and stuff, so he could be like, look, people, this is old.
Yeah,
I cleared this with my girl before we got married. We worked it out. Bam, boom, everybody shut up. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, he did it again. Like,
remember, Tori and Anika were beefing on Instagram.
Yeah.
I think like a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
going back and forth about, you know, airing dirty laundry. And then this comes up again.
And he was sitting in the car with the chick in the back seat or some shit as a video.
Which I didn't think too much of, you know what I mean? But it's starting to come back. It's like, damn, Kev. And, you know, and Real Husbands of Hollywood, I know he's going to make fun of it. And that's how Kevin Hart moves.
That's how he deals with it. That's how he copes.
That's how he copes with it. His comedy is his coping mechanism.
So would you say?
So best believe.
Would you say he's like the comedy version of Taylor Swift?
Comedy version of Taylor Swift? You could say that to a degree.
Music, you know, based off relationships and events.
Or Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor basically talks about his stand-up basically comes from the shit that he's gone through. And that's what Kevin Hart does. That's his style. Some people are more observant, observation comedians.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like, this shit happens in my life
Yeah.
You know, and damn, you know, he's going to make another stand up. Where is his next stand up's going to be? And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I'd still support his move, you know, the hurricane relief and all the great things that he's doing, the philanthropist work.
Yeah.
And his and him being
health as well.
Being a advocate of
fitness.
Like,
he's not a bad guy. He just
made
a
bad choice.
Decision.
And for him to acknowledge it, own up to it, and I think for him, for his truth, he needs to consider the alternative lifestyle when it comes to this. Because you cheated once, cheated twice. I don't think it's really necessarily true, once a cheater, always a cheater. But to prevent that temptation, you got to choose the alternate lifestyle.
Unless you
totally repent, and like I'm saying, for sins, but if you totally reformed and changed your ways, that you're truly a changed man to the core, then okay, monogamy is for you. Some people fuck up.
To piggyback on that, I was going to say, like, who's to say this happening publicly may, you know, who's to say it won't spark that change in him, you know? Because he's so embarrassed and
he embarrassed
looks
his
like
wife, his kids,
his fans.
His fans.
Everybody.
His
like,
sponsorships.
Yeah.
All, you know, like,
that's, oh my God.
That's a look too, you know what I mean? Yeah. Kobe got in trouble not only cheating for infidelity, but for rape. Nike dropped him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Luckily Nike's like, oh shit, you fuck up, you know what I'm saying? As long as you didn't rape the bitch. Then we had to drop you. But, you know, that's not the case. Now, it was rape.
Wasn't he with Adidas and got dropped by Adidas? Or
Ooh,
was
Kobe,
he with Nike?
He was with Nike at that time. He got dropped. He was in Colorado.
Okay.
Messing with Caucasian women. Black athletes. Black athletes just don't seem to learn.
I never was cool with that whole situation because some of the stories that came out made her look sketchy as fuck.
But yeah, man, we get back to Kevin Hart, man. Yeah. You're in that. I'm sorry, Mamba, tired to put you in this, but
fellow Virgo.
But yeah, man.
A Black Mamba.
But yeah, oh damn. Anything else you guys want to add on to this?
Just the whole situation is just not good at all.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not trying to back nobody, but I do kind of feel bad the way it played out, even though it's all on Kevin doing his dumb shit. I feel bad for Aniko, even though that whole backstory of her being the mistress first and all that shit. I still feel bad for these people going through what they're going through. You know, just keep y'all head up, man. Just know
karma does not have an expiration date. You could probably do some bad shit, not see an ounce of karma in the next 10 years, and then bam, all of a sudden, oh, remember me?
Right.
You forgot. I got to remind you. From your good friend Karma. No, you can go on with your day. And make sure you don't do no fuck shit. And I'll come back around.
I don't know, because I didn't.
That would be a funny skit.
Like I said, I haven't read the book or none of that. But from what I was told, and that's why I was like asking. Because from what I was told, yeah, he cheated on Tori.
She didn't quite understand his lifestyle.
But I guess the whole thing came about where Aniko had told him that she didn't want to be with him until it was official that they weren't together. So technically they were separated, but they didn't have a divorce. So
they were on.
I wonder what stage they were at.
Were they talking? Were they entertaining?
I don't know.
I wonder.
Were they dating? See, that's the thing.
No, but they were separated though. So regardless, they're not together. They're separated, him and his wife. But it wasn't officially. They didn't have the paper saying that they were divorced.
Yeah, and I know divorces take a while.
That's what I'm saying. So technically, that's not considered cheating if you are separated.
Yeah.
If you are separated, that's not cheating. So that's what I'm trying to figure out because the same person that she has the Audible version and she's like loves Kevin Hart, so that she didn't even want to like go into the situation where we're talking about it. But when I was asking questions, that's one thing she brought up was like, yeah, he cheated, but he didn't cheat with Aniko. But everyone's saying that because that's who he ended up with.
Yeah.
But they were separated. So how is that considered cheating? They didn't make it official until the divorce papers were signed. I didn't read the, but they said that's what was said in the book, and that she was like, but don't you have to kind of, don't you have to approve it? So basically, if he was lying about any of that, then that book shouldn't have came out, because Tori would have stopped it. Or she would at least came with a rebuttal. Yeah,
people were going to say like whatever they wanted.
Or
right?
Yeah, with a lawsuit, because that,
defecation of a character or something I don't know the word, man. Because
that book, the book's been out for a minute, right?
Basically assassinating someone's character.
Yeah.
Because that book's been out for a minute, right?
Defamation.
And I'm sure she, because that's her ex, she wanted to know what kind of dirt was. Because I heard the majority of the book was about their relationship.
Man, I mean, why would she want to keep suing this man? This, she's already getting a fucking lovely lump sum of child support from this nigga. And she started her own comedy career now. So
yeah, if you read her Instagram post.
Yeah.
I read a lot of hurt in there of her just seeing him happy with somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's all it told me. Like when a woman sees that, she's a woman scorned and she wants you to hurt, so she's gonna try to hurt you in other ways.
And that's why she was saying, like, so people keep putting that, oh, that's who he cheated on her with, but it's not, because they were separated.
Yeah.
Well, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. So I'll tell you that right now.
Straight up. Straight up.
And now he's going to have two women scorn. Mm-hmm. You double. Then you're going to have two women scorn. You have two kids. And you got the third one on the way, Kevin. Yeah. That's all I got to say about that.
It's a cold situation, man.
Kev.
She walked you gotta think with, about this. With his baby in her stomach.
Kev, you got to
think about that. Bitch ain't going nowhere. I'm going to tell you that. She ain't going nowhere.
Kev, if you weren't funny, you just would have been another short nigga trying to get ahead. You gotta remember. You gotta humble yourself sometimes. Like if I were to ever get uber famous.
Uber famous.
And all of a sudden these super duper duper attractive women come in my way, I have to think to myself, if I was just the same old person with the same old job, would I be able to pull this chick with the job that I work or this and that? No, bitch, get the fuck away from me. Get away from me. Get away from me, because I know what you're out for something. But some of these niggas don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been thinking and dreaming like, once I get to fuck this type of bitch, my life is complete. No, man. Leave them bitches alone. Them bitches are poison. You can't trust a big butt and a smile.
I mean, pussy is pussy, man. So y'all so worried about hitting different chicks. They feel... They're gonna feel the same.
They're gonna. Not I mean, all of them. It's.
I mean, I guess, hot dog down the hallway type shit. But I'm just saying,
especially
like,
them chicks. Yeah, you got.
And you know, some of them might have some shit.
Yeah.
They might get some shit that have your dick coughing, your balls spitting out some shit. You know what I mean?
Yo.
So I'm just saying, be very careful. Choose wisely, man. Fellas, choose wisely. If you aspiring to get famous just because you want to bang out some bad chicks, and then you do, then what? What's next after that? You know what I mean? You gotta make your next move the best move. So that's my advice on that one, too. Like, you can't be, I want to be famous because I want to fuck this chick. Like, man, she might not be cracked up all what she cracked out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Them fucking Instagram angles got you all fucked up. You thinking that, you know, that's how she gonna look in person. You know what I mean? Some of the girls probably got bad breath, the stinky feed or some shit, man. You never know. You can't so tell.
Dumb.
But, you know, I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Niggas, like I said, nigga, Kevin, if you didn't have them M's, all them M's and them O's in your damn account, would you be able to pull an Aniko? Would you be able to pull some of these girls that come in your way? Just think about that. If you're a regular dude who can still pull a bad chick, then you might not be fooled. But if you know you were just like pulling sixes and sevens and maybe eight on a great day, then you should start really like learning, like, okay, bitch, I know you hella fine. You're a little out of my league. I know you're out for something. You're trying to eat. And I know, and I've been, you know, my lady told me some of her friends, maybe one of her friends, operate on that. She goes out. She knows there's a rapper in town, a producer. Don't even know a motherfucking lyric of his words, none of his beats, none of that shit. But she knows that she got to eat. Hey, and it's real. Straight up shit is real in the jungle. So, I'm tired of ratting.
Can't even be mad. That's right. Some people's hustle.
So, I can't knock your hustle, but, you know, niggas got to wisen up. But, man, I'm pretty much done on this. Y'all can say y'all final piece.
I said everything I need to say.
Same here. All right, so we'll go ahead and close it out. Like us on Facebook. Make sure you like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Jig Is Up Pod. Jig Is Up Pod at Jig Is Up Pod. Make sure you leave us an email. Send us an email. We want to interact with you guys, man.
Yes, please.
Stop being shy, man. We don't bite. I mean, you're hearing us from the damn audio, man.
Right.
You know, shit. What are we going to do? Jump out through fucking headphones and strangle you? Like on some fucking Pennywise, Freddy Krueger shit?
Hell no.
But I was thinking about this little triple threat match on some geek shit. Pennywise versus Freddy Krueger versus Scarecrow's Batman Scarecrow. They all operate on fear. Okay. Who do you think who wins in that triple threat? And that's for the audience.
I was gonna add Candyman, but all right, we can do that.
I wanna ask the audience, who wins? Scarecrow from Arkham, let's say Arkham from the Arkham series.
Scarecrow from the Arkham series. Scarecrow. Let's do that one.
Scarecrow from the Arkham series, Pennywise, the new one from It, and fucking Freddy Krueger. Who wins? That's a good mind manipulation matchup of all three of them. But yeah, man, shit. I'm just like, make sure you visit our website, jigisuppodcast.com, thejigisuppodcast.com, thejigisuppodcast.com. And, yeah, man, we're going to do some, shout outs. If Kenlin was here, Kmart, he would have said shout outs to me. And go ahead, Nessa. That's
obviously, you guys know I don't watch football anymore, but I'm still happy for Antonio Gates, so shout out to him for, you know, having the most touchdowns for a tight end. Who else am I shouting out? Shout out to Mark, you know, for celebrating his birthday and allowing us to share with
weekend,
us.
Man.
It was a lot of fun.
Thursday we had the, you know, the comedy show, and then Sunday bowling. Good time. So shout out to the birthday boy.
Fuck. Hey. Thank you.
Put his age out there, 31. He's a 31 savage.
I'm grown as fuck.
31.
I'm a grown up, bro.
He's a 31 savage right now.
I'm a 31 scholar.
like that.
Shout out to Monica. You know, following
up. Yeah, shout
up
out
with
to
that,
her for putting the whole bowling thing together.
She really went all out for me for the whole weekend.
I did want to say that, but I didn't want to get chewed out again.
And y'all Facebook post, I wanted to comment, y'all gay, but I love it.
You should have said it. I would have been dying laughing.
That shit would have been funny.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's funny with that post. I was at work and working overnight, so those feelings just hit me while I was in mid working, and I just stopped where I was working and just typed it out.
That was so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Reassurance, remember, fellas and ladies, reassurance is key.
Yeah. And shout outs to Andrew Schultz for coming through and being cool and shit.
Yeah, he was hella cool.
Andrew Schultz of the Brilliant Idiots podcast.
Yeah. Young Hezzy.
Yeah, dude, now he's expanding his podcast game. Like, this dude, of course, he's with Brilliant Idiots with Charlemagne, which we met back in May, I think.
Yep.
So we met the Brilliant Idiots in separate occasions. he has Wester Bros, which is it's a Game of Thrones podcast, but they also talk about other geek pop culture stuff on that one. And then he just released a sports podcast. Because remember, he told us he's going to do a sports podcast and left it on Monday. Released it on Monday. Today. Oh, no, it's Tuesday. He released it yesterday.
Okay.
I think it's called Technical 2. And the album cover, and on the cover art, you see it's Chris Charles punching Kobe in the face.
Oh, no.
Yes. They're from New York.
Two-piece.
Yeah, they're New Yorkers. So it's called Technical Technical 2 or some shit like that. So I was like, I listed that one. It's with Andrew Schultz, Ashka Singh, the Indian comedian, and then Kaz from Henny Palooza.
Okay.
So, and Bleacher Report. So he's also a writer for Bleacher Report. So yeah, that's another podcast right there. So Andrew Schultz out here working, man. Shout outs to him, man. Down to earth. Down to earth.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to piggyback
it up with us. Yeah.
Yeah, he chopped it up with us too, man. At Coin Op out there in downtown. You know, I guess we were cool enough. He said what up to us when we walked in. He was like, so I guess we're cool. So
He was like asking where to hoop at and everything.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Conversation.
I would have definitely went and tried to play ball with him if he was if we set that up. That
so hopefully
fun.
Andrew Schultz, I'll probably play this clip. You want to listen to it? If we bore you, oh well. But we still fuck with you anyway. My shout out. I think I got a couple. Oh, you're done with your shout out?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay,
I'm done.
My shout out. I would want to give it to Brandon Stepp of Sound Collage Music and Davis and the founder of Davis Harp Foundation, the studio that where we record with Shoddy. He's gonna be a speaker at the TED Talk in San Diego. That's a big deal. I mean, I don't know if people are into TED Talks, but I like TED Talks. It's very informative. So he's going to be a speaker, which is a big deal to be a speaker at TED Talk. So I'm proud of him, and I'm pretty sure his SoundCloud brothers are proud of him, and all the people in Davis Harp Foundation are very proud of him as well. And I think that's about it for my shout outs. Oh, just a quick tidbit on the shout out. I want to give a shout out to a Trump rally. Yes, you heard it from me, Marco, a Trump rally. Why? Because recently the Black Lives Matters came in there to counter protest, but to their surprise, the person who was organizing the Trump rally allowed the Black Lives Matter representative to go out there and speak and give him a chance to speak and engage and have more understanding of what each side are coming from. And I think that is a beautiful first step of coming along and finding ways to understand each other through engagement and having intelligent conversations about the issues that's been going on here in America to make it great, to make it better. So as long as we are starting to engage in intelligent conversations about our differences and find some common ground, I have hope for this country. So shout outs to the organizers of the Trump rally.
Yeah.
Which is synonymous with a lot of like, not good black friendly stuff, and allowing the Black Lives Matter to go up there on stage and let them say their piece, even if they disagree. That's what it's about. This is what America is about, guys. Yeah. So
go
ahead.
I'm sorry. Shout out to y'all for coming through celebrating my birthday, of course. Shout out to Jamal and Cupid. Shout out to Natalie. Shout out to everybody else. Yeah, Sterling Goat.
P.S. The girls did beat the boys.
I suck at bowling, but you know.
They technically did. But if we do an individual count, I won and I beat the girls. But
hey,
okay.
I didn't realize that I beat Natalie by 1 point.
Exactly.
I looked at it.
Second round, you hella beat her.
Yeah, so I hit some strikes though. So fuck it. I was hitting gutter balls, but I hit some strikes though.
Animated too, falling on the ground and everything. It was a cool time.
But man, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, it's a long podcast, but I think it was informative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast as much as we love making it, because we do what we love and love what we do. And if you're not being your motherfucking self, you know I gotta say,
the jig is up,
and we out.
Why you say I'm gonna have to edit that out here? Shit.